Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service for the 14th of February. And our theme today is thinking about the prayer of Jesus, how Jesus prays for us. And our opening song reminds us that our Lord Jesus is the one who is our strength. He's the one who guides us and comforts us and lifts us and helps us all along the way. Let's come to our God in prayer now. We thank you, our loving Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, our Saviour, that you are our strength when we're weak, that you fill our cup when we feel empty. We thank you that we can say from our hearts that you are our all in all. We pray that as we hear your word, that we might be encouraged, that our hearts might be truly warmed, again refreshed, to bring our thanks and our worship to you. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we continue today looking at the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, this very special chapter in which we find a prayer, a full prayer of the Lord Jesus. And I want us to carry on today looking at verses 6 to 19. And in these verses, according to Jesus, there are not lots of different types of people who live in this world, but there are only two types. First type he calls his own, and the second type is everyone else who he calls of the world. And in this section, Jesus prays only for those that he calls his own, or those that the Father has given me out of this world. And so I want to speak to us this morning about what's special about those who Jesus calls his own. Verse 6, Jesus says, I have revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, the Greek word that's translated revealed there is the Greek word for shining a light. So Jesus sheds a new light on who God is to these special people. There are many people in the world say they believe in God, but believing in God doesn't make a person a Christian, doesn't make them into those that Jesus calls his own. And so as we look at these verses together this morning, I trust we will see and hear from the lips of Jesus himself what it is that makes a person a true Christian. So Jesus says that he has revealed, shown a light, he's shown God's character, shown his love and his power, and his forgiveness and his holiness. And Jesus brings this knowledge and the experience of God right into the Christian's heart so that they see and know God in a completely new way that they've never known or experienced before. This is life-changing. Something spiritual has now been born in them. Before Jesus shone this light, people never realised how truly great and wonderful God is. Before this happened, these people, says Jesus, were of the world. They were part of the anti-God, unbelieving world. They lived for the world and all that it offers. They loved the world. Everything of life for them was founded and based in the world. But now these, his own, or Christians, are taken out of the unbelief and brought into faith, into Jesus' kingdom. And now they have a living relationship with God and live to obey God and his word. They now love the word of God. It has a new importance. It has an authority in their lives that it never had before. And this is what is special about the true Christian. They have seen how wonderful God is, seen how wrong they are and their need of a saviour. And they've cried out and come to Jesus through what they have in God's word, the Bible and the scriptures, which have become precious to them and authoritative in their lives. Seeking now to obey, not perfectly, of course, but seeking to obey and to please God in line with his word. So we need to check ourselves. Is that us? is that you and me, is your life lived under the authority, the obedience to God's word? Do you have this new relationship with God so that you live for him and you love him? You don't live for the world and its stuff anymore. We live in the world, we have a part to play in the world, but we don't live for the world anymore. You delight to please God. Your joy now is to seek him with all your heart and to obey his word. You love reading the Bible. You love hearing the Bible taught. God's word is precious to you. So, is that you? If it is, then Jesus says you are one of those that he calls his own. If you're not, you're still outside, still part of the world, the unbelieving world. And on that broad road that the Bible says leads to destruction. So we need to check ourselves to see if the word of God, to see if the Bible being taught, being preached, is very special and precious to us. I wonder, because I've never actually heard any of this ever on Desert Island Disc, but I wonder, would your choice, my choice, on the 8 discs that you can take, would one of them, at least one of them, be a Bible preaching message? It should be. Or doesn't Scripture bother you? Would you be happy if we missed out the preaching and just had a good sing? Well, we need to check ourselves. Because if that is you or me, then it's a very good sign that you don't belong to Jesus and that you are not one of his own. Jesus brings to his own and births in us a new desire for him, to please him, and a new desire for his word. A true Christian is always concerned to be in line with the word of God. Verse 7, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. This spiritual light brings people to see the truth. They now accept this truth of the gospel for them. And as they accept this truth, they know with certainty. This is not that a person becomes a bit religious. No, not at all. Something is different for them. They accept the gospel and know in their hearts and minds that it's true, and they have believed. And so verse 9 says, Jesus says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. The unbelieving world is a lost world. Jesus prays only for his own and for those who will become his own. So what does Jesus actually pray for his people? What does Jesus pray for Christians? And in the next verses we see him praying that these Christians will be held, will be kept and protected and helped to serve him. In other parts of the Bible we read that right now in heaven Jesus is praying for his own. And if you've ever wondered what it is that Jesus prays for, well, it's here in these verses. Verse 10. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. Note that Jesus prays not for the Christians' comfort, or for all their problems being solved, or even for their blessing. He prays that their lives would glorify the Lord Jesus. And of course that's the reason why the Christian, on becoming a Christian, is left behind to live in this fallen world and not taken immediately to heaven. The Christian is left here on earth to glorify Christ, to shine for Jesus in this dark, sinful, blind world with this new light that has been born in them, to show with their new way of living how Jesus has changed them. Verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you give me, so that they may be one as we are one. See, the unbelieving world is a dangerous and a damaging place. The unbelieving world's goal is to have you and enslave you in its me, 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 all about me kind of message and its lifestyle. And Jesus prays for his own that they may be kept from the world. The unbelieving world will do all in its power to distract the Christian from worshipping and serving God and coming together to praise him. And Jesus knows how dangerous the unbelieving world is for the Christian. And he focuses his prayer to the Father for the Christian's protection. Guard them, Father, keep them. And we are to be kept by God's name. All the divine power and majesty and might are ours so that we are held and we do not fall. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None of them has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled. The true born-again Christian is kept by Almighty God. It doesn't mean that we don't stumble, but we don't stay down. We do fall, but the true Christian, after falling, repents and turns back to God and finds him lifting us, as our opening song said. And the evidence of a true Christian is that of being held and kept by God. And that verse, of course, refers to the one who was doomed to destruction, which was Judas. And of course, Judas was never a true Christian. And we know that from his lifestyle. He was a thief. So verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So a third test of whether we are part of this group that Jesus calls his own is this test of joy. The Christian finds that their life joy is belonging to Jesus, the joy of salvation, the joy of witnessing to others, the joy of knowing our sins are forgiven, the joy of heaven. Not anymore in the things of the world. It's all different now for the Christian. Verse 14, I have given them your word. The world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. The unbelieving world does hate God's word. God's word about male and female. God's word about marriage, God's word about sin, God's word about salvation. The world hates all of that. And the Christian who believes and lives God's word is not liked. They are hated by the unbelieving world. You might say that's a bit strong, David, but you speak to people about God's word on abortion, that it's murder. Speak to them over the fact that God made male and female. There's no transgender. No two people living together of the one sex. No same-sex stuff. And just watch how the conversation changes. You will see that these people hate the Bible's teaching. And Satan's full-on attack is not against people going to church. He's no problem with that at all. Satan's attack is not stopping you getting baptised or becoming a church member. He doesn't worry about any of that. Satan's full-on attack is against God's word being preached, against God's word being obeyed in a person's life, being authoritative. And so we see how many churches now have succumbed to Satan's attack. And the authority of the word of God is downplayed. In fact, in some places it's completely silenced. Preaching of the Bible being replaced by anything else they can think of drama and chatting and discussion and messy church, etc. And so here, the full force of Jesus' prayer, what he prays for today, for you, for me, is that you receive his word, receive it, live by it, honour it, love it. And so we ask, does it change us? Does it change us in the way that we live, so that we live by his word? Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified. We're kept by the word of God. We're sent by the word of God. We're protected. God's word is the authority. It is the guide. It is the rule of the true Christian's life. So we ask as I close, is it mine? Is the word of God my strength, my shield? Is it my all in all? So, loving Father, we come and ask that you might help us as we have heard your word to take it to heart, that by your Spirit you will help us to find ourselves giving ourselves more and more to seeking to trust and obey the word of God. So we ask all this in the name of Jesus, and for his sake we pray. Amen. And our closing song centres upon the word of God, those ancient words that are ever true, and ever powerful and authoritative in a Christian's life.